Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
Jump.
I don't know if I'll make it.
Hurry! The floor is lava!
Oops. Hey, life happens. Which is why your favorite styles from Ashley are available in life-resistant, high-performance fabric. With removable, machine-washable fabric slipcovers that make it easy to clean spills, dirt, and imaginary lava. For more mess and less stress, shop Ashley's high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Let the word go forth.
Fool me once.
Are you fired up?
I'm not a crook.
Are you ready to go?
Shame on you.
It's Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, hosted by Ben Kissel.
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Travis Irvine.
Hello, Ben.
And Fernando.
Hi, Ben.
Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well out there. Happy January 6, 2023.
Woo!
Where were you 2 years ago?
I personally was at the Capitol and I was sniffing AOC shoes and I have not gotten that scent out of my nose because I have not cleaned since. We're going to discuss the fallout from January 6th. It still resonates in the minds of the American people. Mm-hmm. A lot of different angles of approach when having this conversation. We'll get to everything you need to know about J6 and where we are now. Also, Travis Irvine is going to keep us updated on Kevin. No. He's alone in the house, although he has found a few more friends. Aww. Kevin McCarthy, will he be the next Speaker of the House? It's looking better than it was. Of course, he is currently, as of this recording, on his 12th ballot.
Wow.
And he still has not won yet. So we'll get into
literal teens.
Yes, we will get into details on that momentarily. First, Herschel Walker, the campaign that keeps on giving. There's a fella that was working with Herschel Walker. His name is Matt Schlapp. Now, if you've ever watched television news for a long period of time, you've probably seen Matt Schlapp show up on your network and you're wondering, why the hell is this guy here? You've got to put down your ravioli because he's so hideous you don't want to eat while you stare at him. Apparently, during the campaign for Herschel Walker, which he was working on, he decided to get a little gropey with the male staffer.
Fun.
Yes, indeed. So now he is being accused or alleged of groping by a dude who says that they were driving. And then all of a sudden, Matt Schlapp, again, the chair of the American Conservative Union and league organizer for the Conservative Political Action Conference, a.k.a. CPAC, groped and fondled his crotch in the car against his will after buying him drinks at two different bars. Mm. So at least he went classic.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
He went
yeah.
classic molestation where he's like, I bought you two drinks at two different bars. I bought you multiple drinks at two different bars. Okay. Can we make this car a stick shift really quick?
Oh, dear. That's what these predators do, though, is they'll, you know, they do the indoctrination and they trap you in a car. You're going 70 miles per hour, Ben. What do? You're going to jump out of the car?
Yeah.
And he was probably the driver, right? I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know. I guess Matt Schlapp could have had, one hand free, another hand on the wheel. That's tough to say. I'm going to assume that Schlapp was the driver, it being that he got this guy absolutely hammered.
Right. Two drinks. Yeah.
Right.
Two bars.
Oh.
So multiple drinks.
Oh.
So the staffer described Schlapp, who had traveled to Georgia for the Walker campaign event, as inappropriately and repeatedly intruding into his personal space at the bars. He said he was keenly aware of his power dynamic with Schlapp, as he widely regarded him as one of the most influential figures in national conservative politics. So why are we discussing this? It's, of course, because of the hypocrisy. Matt Schlapp, a man who promises to stand up for family values. Of course, if those family values are the ones portrayed on Pornhub, because evidently apparently he wants to grope this man who is doing his damnedest to get Herschel Walker elected to the Senate. Dare I say, this poor staffer got fucked over twice. So the staffer said it was in a public space, and I was thinking that he got the hint. I did not want to embarrass him, but it escalated. And here is my advice. I'm not victim blaming whatsoever, of course, but embarrass him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Matt Schlapp, Travis, you're at a bar, right? Matt Schlapp, you've worked on many campaigns. Matt Schlapp comes in and starts grabbing your crotch.
Mm.
I'd be like, Matt Schlapp, just grab my crotch.
Oh, yeah.
Much like Norm MacDonald in Dirty Work in one of the opening scenes when he's a child and the crossing guard grabs his butt and Norm MacDonald had put super glue on it. And he says, look, this guy's grabbing my butt.
Yeah.
Matt Schlapp deserves to be publicly flogged and rolled across the coals because this man has spread more lies about people than Karl Rove could ever imagine.
Yes, Matt Schlapp, of course, in charge of CPAC, the annual collection of conservatives that gaggle together at a at a hotel outside D.C. called the Gaylord Hotel. So right away. You're like, hello, something's going on. But you're right. I don't think I'd go so far as super glue, but that's something you want to get on camera. You want to get pictures. I mean, honestly, have your smartphone camera on and just roll on Matt Schlapp schlapping you around, or at least trying to schlap you around. You've been schlapped, buddy. And in that case, yes, then you go to the Daily Beast, not just with a story, but then with actual photographic evidence. I agree with you, Ben. It's the hypocrisy, again, that's the only thing that makes worth outing these closet gay Republicans is the hypocrisy.
That's
family
all
values?
It is.
Yeah, family values, that is just a ruse that they use to get the young boys.
And of course, because they do like to stay under the radar or low down, they do these things in the most disgusting way possible.
Mm-hmm.
They make it so it has to be dirty.
Well,
it has to be nasty. It has to be, I got you a couple of drinks. Maybe you can just give me a little Hummer in the car.
It's not even that, Ben. It has to be control. Because this was a man that was
the power dynamic.
There's a reason the guy didn't scream, hey, don't touch me in a bar, because this was his boss. This guy would have fired him, you know? And so it's levels. Like I said, he got him drunk. He harassed him at the bar. He set the stage for it. And then once they got in the car, they're going at a high speed. He's going to do it. He had already said, I'm going to do it to you and you haven't stopped me. And it's a power play. It's something that we see a lot. And he happened to do it to someone who had a platform, which was, you know, an aide or a person,
a staffer. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But think about all the men he's done it to or people he's done it to that don't have a platform.
Well, perhaps. Exactly. And of course, when it comes to giving people alcohol, no, thank you. I'll take it myself. So according to Charlie Spies, that's Schlapp's attorney, he says the allegations are an attack on Schlapp. And he denies any improper behavior. Of course, again, this is not some Democratic operative. This is another Republican who probably doesn't want this to have happened for the party.
A pro-Herschel Republican.
Exactly. Right.
Willing to accept.
Very high profile. I mean, he's the head of CPAC.
Absolutely. So the man who is claiming that he was groped, again, is someone that you would see at CPAC, probably covered in Trump paraphernalia, screaming to the high heavens about some batshit ideas. So the lawyer goes on to say, this appears now to be the 12th Daily Beast piece with personal attacks on Matt Schlapp and his family. The attack is false, and Mr. Schlapp denies any improper behavior. We're evaluating legal options for the response. Now, the staffer, who's in his late 30s, also, buddy, you're a staffer in your late 30s. Come on. Let's talk about your career choices here. Don't you think? I mean, a staffer... 35 and under, you can be a staffer. But after 35, you got to run for something, you know, own a McDonald's.
I mean, I think he really was working on Herschel Walker's campaign so he could get that bigger staffer position with Herschel Walker center.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I suppose that's correct. And politics are funny.
You have to imagine that had he not said anything, maybe he would have had that position, Ben.
Right.
Well, Herschel Walker didn't win, so there's no position for this staffer to receive. But anyway, so the staffer in his late 30s, recalled that while he drove Schlapp back, okay, so he was driving Fernando.
Oh, and again, hammered.
Trapped him. So Schlapp got him drunk and made him drive.
Wow.
Which is pretty fantastic.
And when you got two hands on the wheel, you can't defend yourself. Interesting move by Schlapp.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. And that is almost like, you know, a serial killer removing the locks from the door.
He knew what he was doing. It's a predatory thing.
Make him drive. He can't. We're going 70 down the highway. What's he going to do? Stop me from jerking him off?
Yeah.
So anyway, the guy says Schlapp put his hand on his leg, then reached over and fondled his crotch at length while he was frozen in shock. He called it, quote, scarring and humiliating. When they arrived at the hotel, the staffer said Schlapp invited him to his room.
Oh, baby.
The staffer said he quickly declined and left as quickly as he could. It is yuck on so many levels, again, simply because of the scenario that is playing out as Matt Schlapp had this plan the entire evening.
Yeah.
Get him a little drunk. And then let's just say that perhaps this guy does aggressively get angry with Matt Schlapp. And next thing you know, Matt's like, he's drunk, officer.
Yep.
Right. And then boom, now we have a staffer who got a DUI who was claiming that Matt Schlapp fondled his cock. And everyone's like, okay, drunkie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good for that staffer for standing up for himself. You know what they say, you go to bed with Schlapp, you wake up with the clap. Gotta get out of there.
Fantastic. The staffer described the call as short and perfunctory when, of course, Matt Schlapp called him shortly after midnight hit on him, or according to the staffer, break him down, because, of course, the staffer did end up breaking down.
Wow. No, and but there it is. There's your evidence. If as long as there's a call receipt at that time after midnight from said Matt Schlapp, feel free to leak the number, staffer. My gosh, there you go. There's your evidence. So the attorney and Matt Schlapp, they don't have much of a case if all this evidence is true and it gets out there.
The staffer recorded a series of tearful videos accounting the details of the events. He shared them with the Daily Beast as well as two other people close to him, including the staffer's wife. So anyway, just a reminder that these people are not who they say they are.
Never.
And the more pious they appear in public, the more fondling they're doing in a Nissan. So just keep that in mind when we're discussing these individuals. You just can't trust any of them. The staffer said in the video, Matt Schlapp of CPAC grabbed my junk and pummeled it at length. He says pummeled it, which is not good. He goes on to say, and I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell is going on that this person is literally doing this to me? Of course, our hearts go out to the victim, despite whatever he might be doing with the Herschel Walker campaign.
Right,
it doesn't matter. He goes on to say, from the bar to the Hilton Garden Inn, also, you're going to have him put up at the Hilton Garden Inn. Come on.
You know,
you're going to get groped by Matt Schlapp after he gives you a bunch of cheap schlitzes, and then you go to the fucking Hilton Garden Inn.
Oh, boy.
I'm not dissing the Hilton Garden Inn if you're out there on the road trip with your family, but this is a Senate campaign.
Right.
Put him in an Omni, for crying out loud. He says, from the bar to the Hilton Garden Inn, he has his hands on me.
Oh, wow.
And I feel so fucking dirty. I mean, this is disgusting. The staffer continued, I'm supposed to pick this motherfucker up in the morning and just pretend like nothing happened. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I got to do.
Jeez.
So anyway, at 7:26 in the morning, Schlapp sent a text saying, I'm in the lobby. 1 minute later, the staffer called his supervisor, followed by a call with a senior campaign official. The staffer said the senior official was immediately horrified and pulled him off of driving duty.
Woo!
So this isn't just a random, you know, message to the Daily Beast, because I understand political hit pieces are exceptionally common, and you can just write a headline and people will be like, did you hear Joe Biden? He sleeps inside of his dog every night. And then, you know, you have to disprove that. But in this case, the driver went up the chain and was like, I can't pick this guy up.
Right.
Right. Because this is nasty. I feel uncomfortable. And again, we know the personality type of someone who truly believes in the Herschel Walker campaign. This guy might actually be one of those conservative Christian Republicans who is family, faith, and God.
Right, right.
And this would shatter this man.
Right.
Yes.
So this is what he texted to him. He says, I did not want to say I was uncomfortable with what happened last night. The campaign does have a driver who is available to get you to Macon and back to the airport. So Schlapp replied, please give me a call, followed by a thanks. So, of course, Schlapp was probably attempting to do the call where it's like, it never happened.
Right.
You know that never happened. You were a little drunk.
Right. You were
I don't want to tell people you were drinking and driving, so let's just keep it between us.
Oh, my God.
And then it's illegal to drink and drive. You know that.
And then he called him three more times in the next 20 minutes. So this is someone who's acting clearly guilty. So
Schlapp texted at 12:12 p.m. If you could see it in your heart to call me at the end of the day, I would appreciate it.
Oh, wow.
If you could it in your heart.
If you could just see in your heart that I'm super guilty right now and please don't expose me. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You know, the thing is, I was thinking that my crotch was your crotch. I'm bad with distance. I'm bad with distance.
I got a wide stance, like the Larry Craig defense.
Absolutely. Schlapp finishes up with, if not, I wish you luck on the campaign. And I hope you keep up the good work. Of course, the staffer never responded back. And again, Matt Schlapp, just one of the many disgusting stories about this disgusting man. And one thing we do know about CPAC, if you are a sex worker, specifically of the male kind, you are busy during CPAC and AFPAC. Those doors are knocking.
That's monsoon season for them.
Grinder is heating up.
Yes, that's what's so funny. Anytime CPAC or the RNC comes to town, Grinder and the demand for male escorts goes up. It's been proven. It's been written about. Google it, folks. I've seen the documents.
Oh, morning. How'd you sleep?
Amazing.
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 When did they get here?
I didn't even notice.
Mommy, I want pancakes.
Get the best sleep of your life with a little help from the experts at Ashley. Discover the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection by Tempur-Pedic. Designed with body-conforming technology and motion absorption that helps minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right. So anyway, Matt Schlapp, a man you simply cannot trust whatsoever. It seems like everyone attached to the Herschel Walker campaign and to Donald Trump in general is going through the ringer right now. And of course, they do need to be washed out of American politics. So let's move on. Speaking of Donald Trump, Donald Trump's one of his favorite boys is Kevin McCarthy. Kevin currently, again, very alone in the House. However, things are looking slightly better for him. This has been, to say the least, a trying week for him, and to say the most embarrassing, I would say, because for the most part, Speaker of the House, when you are nominated, it's sort of run of the mill. You're like, all right, and you're Speaker of the House. There you go. You got the 218, I believe, the votes. That's all you need. Boom. It's all said and done. Now, since the antebellum days, that was slavery, of course, this has not happened. So this has been a long, interesting week when it comes to the Republicans choosing who their next Speaker of the House is. So, Mr. Irvine, you're the expert on the minutiae of Washington, D.C. Get us updated. What's going on with McCarthy? I know he flipped 15 votes and things are looking slightly better for him.
Yes, as of this recording today, January 6th, obviously, Kevin McCarthy still is not Speaker. And as you mentioned, Ben, and as we talked about earlier this week, this does have historical precedence. 1834 was the last time a Speaker vote went past 10 ballots, which is where we are now. As of this recording, I think we're on the 12th or 13th.
Yeah.
And of course, this kind of fight for a speaker hasn't happened in 100 years since 1923. That one was settled on 9 ballots. So we've already surpassed that one. And where we are now is that McCarthy has successfully flipped 15 more Republicans to come into his camp as of the last ballot. The problem is he's still got 6 holdouts and he can only afford 4 holdouts right now. Now, we've got 4 hardcore names that we all probably know and listeners of the show probably know because they're pretty hardcore. You may remember them from a little thing called Checks Notes January 6th. Ooh. So they are Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, Andy Biggs, and maybe a guy who wasn't there on January 6th, but his name's Bob Good, and he is the uber Christian Republican representative from wherever Liberty University is in Virginia. Ugh. So those are your 4 main holdouts, but the other 2 are freshman congressmen from Arizona and Montana. And the thinking as of now, and obviously when this episode comes out, it could be all said and done, but that's all McCarthy needs now.
Okay.
He can still afford those 4 holdouts. Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, they never will like McCarthy. Fine. That's going to be how they roll the next 2 years.
Sure.
But these last 2 freshman congressmen are flippable because they are new in town and they, in theory, can be given something or something else to respect their conservative bona fides that they're trying to protect that got them elected in the first place. And if they don't, another path could be one of them voting present. That means they don't need to vote for McCarthy, but that brings down that threshold from 435. Right now, there's only 434 voting members because a Democrat congressman from Virginia passed away in the last few months. So that seat has got to be filled later. But so we have 434. It's so far, you know, it's 222 Republicans, but 20 of them the last few days were just not sided up with McCarthy. So to reach that magic 218, he needs 2 of these last 6 holdouts to flip. Or if one of them votes present, that brings down your threshold to 433 and Mr. McCarthy can win with 217 votes.
Okay.
And that is where we're at.
If you are these 2 freshman congressmen, one thing that we do know about Kevin McCarthy is he's able to fundraise. You're new in town. Mm-hmm. You probably want to be invited to the galas, the events that charge $1,000 a plate for shitty Salisbury steak. So for them, if they want to have a cordial 2 years, it would probably be in their best interest to just go along with the herd and vote for McCarthy at the end of the day, right?
Well, but that's the thinking, right? And that is that these congressmen, people like this, are running against the swamp. They're running against the Kevin McCarthy. So in theory, they probably won their gerrymandered Republican primaries by being uber non-McCarthy and being, you know, against the swamp and against those kind of spending and the pork and the $1,000 Salisbury steak dinners and everything like that.
Yeah,
so that's where the job gets a little harder for McCarthy. But again, it's Washington. He can be able to give you something, especially as we said, if you're a freshman congressman, you're new in town, there's got to be something you can ask for that he can give you.
Yeah. And money, of course, is still paramount. And Kevin McCarthy, one of the most notorious fundraisers in Washington, D.C. history. One of the bright sides in all of this is Matt Gaetz has said that if he is indeed elected, that being Kevin McCarthy, elected Speaker of the House, Matt Gaetz said on the Laura Ingraham show, again, the fake Christian who wears a gold cross, says that he will resign, which...
Oh, no.
Lock up your daughters. Matt Gaetz is back in Florida. Love the ego of these people thinking like, you know what, fine, I'll go. And it's like, no one likes you.
Right.
It's like the dude at the party that's eating all the fondue and drinking all the wine. He's like, you guys aren't nice to me. I'm just going to go. It's like, leave, Barry. Get out of here. No one invited you to the party. So Matt Gaetz's big Beavis-y head is like, oh, fine, I'll just go then. I will resign.
His head is so ugly.
Who cares?
You think he's really going to do it, though? I don't believe it.
Of course not. He's power hungry. It's nepotism personified. His father held elected office in Florida. And as we know, Matt Gaetz grew up as about as privileged as it gets. He wasn't born on third base. He was born in the dugout after his father already hit a home run. So when it comes to Matt Gaetz, attempting to seem tough on Laura Ingraham's show, he says, I'm on the floor, Laura. These 212 Democrats are going to vote for Hakeem Jeffries every single time. He is the historic candidate for them. They're not going to cleave off under any circumstance. I assure you that if Democrats join up to elect a moderate Republican, I will resign from the House of Representatives. This is how certain I am. I can assure your viewers that won't happen. And of course, when it comes to the Democrats, any of them supporting Kevin McCarthy, that would not happen. So Matt Gaetz pretending as if he's really putting himself out there on the limb and promising his resignation. It's just total hyperbole. It will never happen, unfortunately, for the people of this country, because I think we'd be better off without him. And so it does look like Kevin McCarthy will be the next Speaker of the House.
Yes, but obviously this week has been pretty indicative of what the next 2 years are going to be like. I mean, it really puts to Nancy Pelosi's point about leaders know how to count votes. What was Kevin McCarthy doing all week? Why didn't he flip those 15 Republicans back on Tuesday? Now it's Freaky Friday over here. And it just, I think, spells a lot of trouble for the times ahead. These 20 or so rogue Republicans can keep holding the entire House hostage on other procedural votes, just on budgets and debt ceiling limits and things like that. We have a lot of big decisions to make, and a lot of points that the politicos have been making on TV this week is that this is just the beginning. This is just, as you said, a ceremonial vote to get a leader of the House, and they're even able to hold that up. What happens when we start getting to spending and budgets? Right. This is like Tea Party 2.0. This is going to be like 2011, 2013 all over again, when someone like Ted Cruz was able to single-handedly shut down the government. So it spells a lot of trouble. And again, I think Kevin McCarthy has been proven to be a weak leader at best, assuming that he finally gets this speakership position within the next few hours or days.
With a name like McCarthy, we know for a fact he was getting hammered. Fernando?
And isn't it January 6th? Isn't it just like January 6th and a celebration of January 6th that we not let procedure happen? That there be people, obstructionists, people like Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert.
Andy Biggs.
Yes, that stop America from doing what America's supposed to do, from stop normal democratic processes. This is what they want. And 2 years later, they're still getting it, which is, to me, as I'm not a voter, but as an American, I'm shocked. I'm just shocked that we are watching it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, well, it's symbolic. It's very symbolic. Yeah. And again, Kevin McCarthy, they were, I remember everyone pontificating on just how much trouble is he going to have. Bro, if this is your first week on the job, you're going to have a lot of trouble. The obstructionist and the chaos caucus has got you right where they want you.
Absolutely. And if I was McCarthy, I would say, do I really want this freaking job? Nonetheless, it does look, again, as I said, that he will be able to flip those two freshmen, and the Boeberts of the world will get their political fundraising, and everyone will have what they wanted to have, which is some proper PR for their gerrymandered districts. Mm. McCarthy will be Speaker of the House, and we will just move forward as is. Well, you mentioned January 6th. So obviously it is the anniversary of January 6th, and you know it is because Ashley Babbitt is trending on Twitter. I wish the people that cared about her so much would care about all of the other people killed by law enforcement that were not attempting to invade the United States Capitol as they overwhelmed the small police force that was there. That's a whole nother conversation, which we could have at some point, and we should, and we continue to, when it comes to why was there not enough law enforcement to protect the Capitol. They should have been there. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And you do wonder if there was a little bit of, well, let's see what they do. And we'll allow it to happen and whatever it might be, because that was absolutely atrocious. If you haven't watched, it's the New York Times, take it or leave it. But there is a documentary that they have on YouTube, which is just footage from the people at the Capitol that were that was filmed by themselves, because, of course, they were so proud of their idiocy. And again, their idiocy is the thing that led to the death of Ashley Babbitt. So everyone who was upset with this police officer, look in the mirror, my friends. You're the reason she was there, and you're the reason that she's dead. We now have this being used again in political campaigns. It's not going away, and nor should it. It was such a massive horrible day for American history and such a horrible moment in our democratic process. Josh Hawley. Now, Josh Hawley, many of you will know he is the man who said, let's march. We're not afraid of anything.
Right. He raised his fist in support and then ran like a bitch when they got there.
Absolutely. Josh Hawley, of course, he is a senator. And he now has a potential challenge by a dude named Lucas Kuntz. That's his name, or Kuntz.
I think it's more Kuntz.
Is it Kuntz? It's not a great name. Lucas Kuntz, who lost last year's Democratic Senate primary to the beer heiress Trudy Bush. Oh, I always vote for Trudy Bush.
But that's a fun Democratic primary. It's Kuntz versus Bush. Fantastic.
There you go. And of course, we're discussing Missouri here. So Kuntz has taken an ad out to challenge Hawley in 2024. Now, January 6th obviously is going to be the backdrop for a lot of campaigns against Josh Hawley, a man who wrote a book about manhood. Again, despite the fact he is, to say the least, not exactly the most masculine.
Masculine.
I don't know what it is, but I love driving with Matt Schlapp. The thing is, I'm Josh Hawley. I'm a man, okay? So I just Schlapp, he gets you drunk, right? And then he gives you a little bit extra. But you're drunk. It ain't gay. Oh, it's not gay. You're drunk.
Oh, my Lord.
So Lucas Kuntz, he has a campaign ad. I think it's worth playing here. Because this is what it's going to look like for Missourians going into 2024 again, as J6 will continue to be used as ammo, and rightfully so.
Right.
It is what it is when it comes to unseating these people, whether it be in a Republican primary or whether it be a Democrat beating them in a general. What happened on J6 and anyone who supported what happened on J6, it should be a obelisk around their neck,
right?
Because it is just absolutely horrific. And in this era of everything being filmed by them,
right,
we don't forget, and we're not going to forget the rhetoric that led to the insurrection that was one of the worst days in modern American history. So let's play this ad from Lucas Kuntz. This is out of Missouri. Again, it's already beginning for 2024, despite the fact we are, again, January 6, 2023. It's going to be a long campaign. We'll see if this is going to be able to stick against Hawley, again, who a man who considers himself a real alpha. Lexington, Missouri is the words on the screen.
My name is Lucas Kuntz. I've done a lot of running in my life. Running to stay healthy. Running to fight for my country.
It's a man in a suit running.
Running to defend democracy.
Nice.
Oh, and by the way, that guy you're looking at, that's not me. That's our current U.S. Senator Josh Hawley. This guy. Or maybe you'd better recognize him running for his life a few hours later. I swear, this coward's always running from something. And now, this is the guy who's writing a book telling every single one of us how to be a man.
Oh my
now,
God.
Now, this is me, Lucas Kuntz, running for Senate. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I did have the support of my community, which made me who I am today. When things get tough, Missourians deserve a U.S. senator who will stand up for them, not run away.
That's why
I'm running to replace Josh Hawley, because we couldn't be more different. When his banker daddy sent Joshua to a fancy prep school miles from his hometown, my family in Jeff City was relying on our neighbors to survive bankruptcy and medical bills. When he graduated from law school, he joined one of the world's most elite corporate law firms. I joined the Marine Corps to pay back the community that took care of me. When he was climbing the ladder to become another corrupt politician, I was serving my country and working to put an end to overseas wars. When giant corporations were stripping Missouri for parts, he attacked workers and shipped our jobs away, while I fought to take power back for American workers and small businesses. And when he voted against relief for vets like me who were exposed to toxic burn pits, I stood up alongside thousands of veterans to hold him accountable. I'm Lucas Kuntz, And I approve this message because Josh Hawley is a fraud and a coward. And by the time I'm done with him, the whole world's going to know it.
Ooh.
So keep on running, Josh. Keep on running.
All right. I love it. Lucas Koontz for the U.S. Senate.
I love
thought
it.
The reason that we played that was because
it was good.
It got to the series of points, and I can't even really say it's a slam ad because all he did was discuss what he did on J6 after giving the endorsement of the fist pump. Oh, we're going to do it. And then again, talking about the wealth that he came up with, the irony of him pretending to know what it is to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing, in my personal opinion, is voting against our soldiers who are suffering from cancer because of having to work in the burn pits. I don't get how these pieces of shit pretend like they're pro-military and pro-America when we don't support our veterans when they come back home full of illness and disease. It is just so mind-boggling to me. So Lucas Koontz, that's his first ad. That's the first one I've seen.
That's great.
And I thought it was really well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought he got right to the points. And again, it kind of reminds me back in 2006 of when another blue wave happened, when it was Iraq war veterans and military people running with the Democrats saying the Iraq war was flawed and the Bush administration, Rumsfeld, all screwed it up. So you had military vets running as Democrats. And that's something that's going to be more appealing to those independent, maybe moderate Republican suburban voters, specifically in Missouri in this case, where they'll actually pony up and vote for a Democrat who stood up for his country instead of, again, a fraud like Josh Hawley, who opposes veterans, was there on January 6th urging everyone to get in there, even though he ran like a bitch when they got there. And let's never forget the most offensive thing he did on January 6th was that after the Capitol was ransacked, after Congress got back to work and Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi got everyone gaveled back in and they were counting the state's electoral votes again, it was Josh Hawley who still rose up as the one senator to challenge Pennsylvania's electoral votes. So they had to go deliberate for another 3 hours at 1 a.m. And that's the only reason he dragged it out even further for his own political purposes. Fuck Josh Hawley. I'm voting Koontz or Bush.
Well, that would be illegal if you did because you're not a Missouri resident. But
that's right. Voter fraud. I forgot.
The one thing that this ad does remind me of, and I'm going to talk about it again, is John Fetterman. It seems as if the Democratic Party is getting back to its roots, which is workers' rights, fighting for every man and every woman, fighting
your community,
the community, for people who are marginalized, struggling, for people who fell through the cracks, fighting for jobs again, getting back to the few things of Trumpism that I resonated with working class people, which is stop shipping jobs overseas. Let's build here, made in America. That's the Democrats that win. That is the message that wins. And if the party can finally get that back and expose the Republicans, they're all elite pieces of shit. But when it comes to the very least rhetoric, if they can expose the Republican Party for the hypocrisy of being the elites that they promised to be against. I mean, again, Josh Hawley, educated very well. Lawyer, Ted Cruz, the exact same thing. All Ivy League. Ron DeSantis. They're all rich, spoiled pieces of they are spoiled eggs. You know, they are spoiled rotten from the inside, and they're stinking up the United States government. So if the Democrats can get back to that. And I think that's one thing that Joe Biden, despite the fact he dropped the ball when it comes to the most recent union negotiations, it doesn't give us a lot of hope for the future. But if they can get back to that narrative and just stop talking about all the other bullshit, I really think they have a chance to control the Senate and the House in 2024. And who knows what happens when it comes to the executive branch.
And I think you're actually seeing that. You saw that in the midterms, because even though we have Republicans going Hunter Biden's laptop, you know, the voters, how did they actually vote? You know, what they voted on is the economy, the things happening in their, what they're actually seeing. They don't actually care about Hunter Biden's laptop.
No, and no one does, because everyone has a brother, a sister, a father, someone who is going through drug addiction. It's the same thing with why the Stormy Daniels stuff or Donald Trump having sex with a bunch of, sex workers, whatever it might be. It doesn't stick because people are like, I don't really care.
Right.
And especially when it comes to Hunter Biden, again, a man who does not have any political office. And yes, believe it or not, every single, any relative, son or daughter of a senator,
right,
uses their position to get money. It's called nepotism. And Hunter Biden is not unique in that. And again, with the comparison to the Trump kids, it pales when it comes to what Hunter Biden got from his papa. But yes, it's not the most shocking information, I don't think, to the American people that senators have spoiled kids.
Oh, morning. How'd you sleep?
Amazing.
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 When did they get here?
I didn't even notice.
Mommy, I want pancakes.
Get the best sleep of your life with a little help from the experts at Ashley. Discover the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection by Tempur-Pedic. Designed with body-conforming technology and motion absorption that helps minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So when it comes to January 6th, within the Donald Trump orbit, there was White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham. She's been discussing what happened recently. She says several people in the West Wing were complaining that this is horrible once the footage started to come on television. She said that these people looked very trashy. She added, I don't know if he expected them to be wearing full suits like Roman armor, and that would have made them not trashy, but he did feel they looked trashy. But he loved how they were fighting for him. So Donald Trump says that they look horrible. They look trashy, but he is happy that they're fighting for him. So that's out of the horse's mouth right there. Grisham told the committee, I heard from several people in the West Wing, more on the military aide or Secret Service side, and then a couple of just people, but that he was sitting in the dining room and he was just watching it all unfold. Of course, he is Donald Trump. And that a couple of his comments, some of his comments were that these people look very trashy, but also look at what fighters they were. So she continued, he was kind of reveling in the fact that these people were fighting for him, but he also didn't like how they looked.
So that's incredible.
They didn't have his made in China little suits on. You know, Grisham also says the Melania had some trust issues, which I do believe. When it comes to the Supreme Court, obviously Clarence Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, she told the January 6th committee she regrets some of the tone and content of the 2020 elections, the text messages that she sent during the 2020 election, such as do not concede, which she sent to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. I'm sorry, Ginny. You really don't get to be sad about this. You're a grown-ass woman. These are not children. I mean, my God, you think about how they talked about Michael Brown being shot in Ferguson as an adult man,
right,
even though he was a child at 17 years old. He's like, what was he doing? He's an adult. These people are in their fucking mid-60s and 70s.
Right.
And they're acting absolutely horrible, and they're pretending as if we are supposed to feel empathy for them, like they're not fully formed humans. She didn't do this at 13 years old.
Right.
3 days after the election, for instance, Thomas wrote to Meadows, do not concede. It takes time for the army who is gathering for his back.
Oh, boy. Sounds like Ginny knew something. Hold the gosh darn phone there, Ginny. Holy moly.
Holy moly, indeed. And this is, again, why one of my predictions is a serious conversation will be had about potential Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas being impeached over something like this. I mean, I understand it's not him, but this is such a conflict of interest.
Exactly. This isn't... Huge. This isn't me texting you about Doja Cat at 8 p.m., Ben. No, this is...
I know. Did you hear the news about Doja Cat?
We all love your Doja Cats.
Yes. Well, yes, but she eats dog poop.
It's crazy.
At least she said she did.
Oh my gosh.
I watched the video. I don't know. I'm very confused and sad.
But this is Ginny Thomas sending 29 lawmakers in Arizona emails. This is her email. And this is the wife of a Supreme Court justice.
That's right.
This is not like Hunter Biden's laptop. This is a woman with actual, she has the ear of a Supreme Court justice, and she has the in her Rolodex. If you guys know what that is, if you're from the 90s.
From the 90s.
In your Rolodex has some of the most important people in this country. This is not a joke.
And she's only texting them because she is married to someone who is very powerful. It's like Matt Schlapp with the Schlapp play in the car. It's just you're only doing this because it's a power play.
Absolutely. So this is what Ginny said of her messages to Meadows. Again, as I said, she regrets the tone and content, saying It was an emotional time. Ugh. And I was texting with a friend who I had known a long time. Okay. So I
29 good friends, sure. Yeah.
Yes. So I really find my language imprudent and my choices of sending the context of these emails unfortunate. Mm.
Do you think Clarence is giving her legal advice? Like, you know, like that's a whole nother thing. She's just like, whoa, I had 14 glasses of wine. I was pretty hammered. I texted everyone in Arizona. Clarence, what do I do? How do I get out of this? I'm sure he might know a thing or two about getting out of trouble.
Again, Thomas, this is Ginny Thomas. She wrote, as Fernando and Travis said, she wrote emails to 29 lawmakers in Arizona, pressing them to, quote, to set aside Joe Biden's popular vote victory and, quote, choose presidential electors. Wow. Talk about the tooth being rotten from the inside. And certainly she needs to be removed, and perhaps her husband does as well. Go out to pasture, go hang out on a goddamn beach, and leave us alone. So Ginny Thomas saying she regrets the tone. Of course, had they won, I don't think she would.
Absolutely.
Hope Hicks as well. She also vented that Trump left his entire team, quote, unemployable, saying that, quote, we look like domestic terrorists now.
Wow. This
is what Hicks texted to a fellow staffer on Jan 6. She says, in one day, he ended every future opportunity that doesn't include speaking engagements at the local Proud Boys chapter. She goes on, God, I'm so fucking mad. So Trump, the backdrop is everyone in his orbit is super pissed, being like, what the hell? And he's sitting there watching, eating a Big Mac, saying, they don't look good, but they're fighting for me.
right. They may look like trash, but God damn it, they're my trash.
I had a chance to watch Alex's War, a fantastic documentary from Alex Lee Moyer, who we actually interviewed, I believe that was for Patreon with Henry and I. And so Alex Jones, obviously a man who vocally was all about J6. He was one of the organizers. There is an interesting moment when they start to storm the Capitol. Alex Jones has his blowhorn. And he's actually attempting to get people to circle around to the different side of the Capitol to have an event, because he actually didn't want the intrusion to happen. This was very fascinating. He said, okay, everyone, we got to back up. There's going to be Donald Trump is going to come speak on the other side of the Capitol. But he actually saw what was happening. And it was like Frankenstein realizing that his monster was completely out of control.
Oh, wow.
And it's really interesting footage. If you have a chance to watch Alex's War, I love the way that Moyer documents, because she stays out of it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. It kind of takes him, discusses Alex Jones from the beginning. I mean, during the Bush years, the thing is, before he tied himself to Trump, Alex Jones was like 50% right.
Right.
Because he would be like, WMDs, there was no WMDs. And there wasn't.
Hillary is a demon. She was.
Well, that's when he began to go partisan. Once he got partisan, it all ended. Once you tie yourself to a president, specifically Donald Trump, that was the beginning of the end for Alex Jones. Then he became tainted and then became partisan, because he used to just criticize whoever was in charge, whether it be W, whether it be Obama, whether it be Clinton, whether it be HW. He would criticize the system as a whole, but then he tethered himself to Trump, and that again was the anvil that sunk him.
Right. I remember when, absolutely, it was Alex Jones and Democracy Now, when they were both talking about the same thing when it came to anti-war movements, things like that, Bush-Cheney administration. That's when you knew they were onto something, right? Yep. I mean, when Amy Goodman and Alex Jones were saying the same thing, you know, those were simpler times, though, in hindsight. Yep. I also remember Alex Jones was very good at one time about reporting police brutality. Yep. Before cops were wearing cameras themselves, all we had was the dash cams. And Alex Jones was, InfoWars was somewhere you could go to see all that. But he talked about absolutely. Then he was compromised by Roger Stone, which got in Trump on the show. And from there, it was all hell broke loose.
It was all downhill. He talked about the militarization of police. There were some really poignant things that he did message and mention on his show. But as Travis just said, he became part of a larger PSYOP, perhaps unbeknownst to him,
or perhaps by
useful idiot. And it's a fascinating documentary. So check out Alex's War. It just, again, shows you the entire life time of this individual who sadly became everything he despised.
Yes, and it's a much better documentary than Alex's Dinner, where it's just him eating chili for 2 hours. And he forgets everything.
I can't forget my... What are the names of my kids again, folks? So when it comes to Hope Hicks again, this is what she has to say. She says, all of us who didn't have jobs lined up will be perpetually unemployed. I'm so mad. I'm so upset. And as I said, she said, we all look like domestic terrorists.
I guess the takeaway that I'm beginning to gather from all of this is like there's we know that Republicans and the right have a cognitive dissonance, but it's crazy to me because on one side we have Ashley Babbitt and she's the martyr, but the actual Capitol police officer that died right. after having true strokes right. from what happened on January 6th, never, I rarely hear a sick
and
nickname.
Of course those strokes were done by Matt Schlapp. There we go.
And then we have Ginny Thomas, who actually committed crime, who actually has the ear of people that could have a lot of say in what's happening in the country, versus mm-hmm. Hunter Biden, who has nothing. So it's that hypocrisy, and we're just seeing it. I don't know.
Well, it's been hypocrisy on all sides. And in this case, obviously, the hypocrisy falls mostly on the right. When it mm-hmm. comes to January 6th, as far as the individual running against Holly, perhaps, he's using that as a negative. Now, there's also lawmakers who want to use it as a positive. Convicted felon Derek Evans, who was charged after he shared a video on Facebook of the January 6th riots. He was charged after he was seen shouting in the Capitol, we're in, baby. So he was quite excited about that. He wants to go back to Washington, but this time he would like to be an elected official. Derek Evans, a former West Virginia state delegate, said in a statement released on Friday that he is launching a run for the U.S. House of Representatives in 2024, drawing proudly on his association with the riots by calling January 6th, quote, a day to celebrate. Oh, Evans said, 2 years ago, I boarded a passenger bus to Washington, D.C. He goes on to say that he was inside the Capitol for 10 minutes, but was nowhere near the chaos. When you say nowhere near the chaos, it's like closer than most people.
Right. Yeah.
Because you were like inside the Capitol, you know? Yeah. So it's like he was near. I would say that he wasn't nowhere near.
He was pretty near. I was watching on my couch back in Ohio. So yeah. I was nowhere near. He was very near.
Evans says January 6th, 2021 was a day that, quote, changed my life and shaped me into the man that I am today. Okay. He goes on to say with his announcement, there's just one thing to do. Let's hit the campaign trail, listen to our constituents, and set our sights on Capitol Hill.
Oh boy.
I guess at the very least he's attempting to do it the legal and professional way. But the idea that this man is so diluted and so brainwashed, perhaps he's running in a hyper gerrymandered district. Most likely he is.
Right.
But the idea that he thinks J6 is a political benefit should just tell you that there are people in this country that do feel that way. Millions of people, as a matter of fact. And we'll see if it does start getting some people elected into office. You know, we're starting to see some Gen Zers who were involved, who were students during a school shooting, for example. You know, they get to... Right. A few of them have been elected now, and now we're going to start seeing the J6 crowd. And I mean, by the time that we're recording this show in 3 years, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a couple of Congress people that we're seeing there in the Capitol.
Yeah, I mean, with the four folks we mentioned at the top of the show with the speaker battle right now, Andy Biggs, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, they were very involved, if not directly involved, with the January 6th insurrection. Of course, Boebert has been accused of giving tours to people who attended the protest the following day. Biggs as well. Biggs is even one of the guys who was in communication with some of the organizers of the protest and so on. And, you know, here they are, obstructionists, and they're holding up a whole speaker vote, just the four of them. And they were convinced 15 other people to go along with them. So absolutely, in some areas of the country, January 6th and the participation in could be a benefit.
Absolutely. This is what Evans, again, a man who wants to be in the House of Representatives, this is what he shared on Facebook regarding the riots. This was shortly after the J6 2021 riots. He says, "I did not have any negative interactions with law enforcement, nor did I participate in any destruction that may have occurred." Them being there is a negative interaction with law enforcement.
I want to point out that Derek Evans was wearing a helmet the whole time in every one of his videos. When do you show up at a friendly interaction, Ben, wearing a battle helmet? Like,
if it's Black Friday.
That's not a friendly interaction.
That's true.
So this guy, he showed up in gear. I mean, this guy was not there to make friends. It's a BS.
Absolutely. All right. And just lastly on J6, Donald Trump is being sued by the fiance of Brian Sicknick, an officer who died after responding to the January 6 riots. The fiance of an officer who died after responding to the J6 2021 riots has taken legal action against Donald Trump, blaming her for the death of her fiance,
right,
Brian Sicknick. So her name is Sandra Garza, the partner of the late officer Brian Sicknick, filed a civil lawsuit against Donald Trump. And we'll see where that goes, because, again, Kaiser, he does need to be held accountable. And Kaiser says the lawsuit aims to, quote, hold accountable those who caused the death of Officer Sicknick as he defended the United States Capitol. This past week, Matt Kaiser, who's the lawyer for Sandra Garza, this is what he had to say. He says they want to, quote, hold accountable those who caused the death of Officer Sicknick as he defended the United States Capitol. He goes on to say nothing can return Officer Sicknick to his fiance or his family, but this lawsuit is an important part of the process of holding those who caused his death accountable. Garza later added that this directly caused the officer Sicknick's death. So we'll see what happens with that again as the fallout from J6 continues. All right. Well, let's just move on. Just lastly, when it comes to politician to pundit, CNN has offered a job to Adam Kinzinger. Adam Kinzinger, also on the J6 committee, he is now going to become the senior political commentator on CNN. Again, this is the pipeline that happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't make your money when you're an elected official, but you definitely make your money when you're sitting behind the desk as a pundit. I don't think it's possible for him to be partisan, but of course, this is a very classic. We see it all the time on MSNBC, right, Fox News, and CNN. So get ready to see Adam Kinzinger's face all over the screen. Of course, Adam Kinzinger, a never Trumper, and he ran in a district that was gerrymandered. And then, of course, he knew he was going to lose, so he decided to step down. Also, when it comes to violence, Democratic officials' homes in New Mexico, there have been homes of 5 elected Democratic officials in Albuquerque. They've recently been hit with gunfire. Again, the rhetoric is heating up, literally, and the people in the crosshairs are not the people that are the ones who are saying all the horrible bullshit.
Right.
They're random victims. And that's happening right now in New Mexico. And just lastly, John Bolton, he has said that he wants to run for the White House again. And he has said that Trump is in terminal decline. The 74-year-old Bolton said, "I wouldn't run as a vanity candidate. If I didn't think I could run seriously, then I wouldn't get in the race." And John Bolton, vanity, thy name is not. However, he is a CIA operative, a man who has participated in many coups d'etats. And I cannot imagine that John Bolton would be the next best thing after Donald Trump for the Republican Party.
That's going to be a fun Bolton for President bumper sticker. I know a thing about coups.
Right? I mean, I guess it's for the warmongers. I guess it would be a good thing. They'd be like, oh,
yeah,
he knows.
Get Bill Kristol back on board. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we'll discuss more of this next week. But Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden, did go show some unity. He went and visited Kentucky with Mitch McConnell. They gave a speech, and Joe Biden promised Mitch McConnell funding for a bridge in his area there. So hopefully that can, you know, show the American people that one party is for building and another party is for destruction. Mm-hmm. And again, Joe Biden needs to continue. He needs to get better at standing up for the working class and for people in this country who are currently suffering. Again, as the lawmakers want to divide us and shake us up and have us fight with one another as they get away with all the cash. All right. Yeah. Anything else, Travis? Mm-mm. All right, Fernando?
It's been a crazy week, and I hope everyone's had a good new year, and now that we're settled in, you know, it's coming. More elections are coming.
And I'm coming. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again next week. Hail yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.